Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Internal Communications, Internal Miscommunications Podcast. My name is Keith. I am one of your co-hosts, and I am honored to be joined by the beautiful and resplendent Erica. Say hello, Erica.
Hello, Keith. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I was kind of hoping for a British accent then. We'll get to that.
All right, mate.
We do need to work on that. Oh, dear. And we are delighted to be joined by the comms hero, the king of comms heroes, the wonderful Asif Chowdhury. Welcome.
Thank you very much for the amazing introduction. I hope I can live up to that big billing you've just given me now, Keith, so no pressure.
I actually did a bit of snooping around. I've not told you this. And looked for all of your accolades and everything online. But it basically just says Dunker of Biscuits. So
that's true. Might,
for our friends over the pond, a biscuit is not one of those big lumpy dumpling things. It's a what you call a cookie. Yeah.
Well, so, you know, a biscuit here in the South is like an enormous breakfast food. The big fluffy biscuit for breakfast with gravy, usually sausage gravy. Anyway,
oh my goodness!
Yeah.
You won't be dunking that in your tea.
No, can we? What's gravy to you guys?
You know, it's like a thick kind of. Gosh, that's a great question. It's like,
is it meaty?
A meat sauce.
It can be. It can be. Yeah, I'm personally not a fan, which makes me feel very unsouthern, as if I did not like sweet tea and, you know. Whatever.
We reserve gravy for chips over here.
My man.
Not your breakfast biscuit.
And when we say chips, we mean
fries.
Fries. Big, thick potato fries, not crisps. Okay.
So we would call those like steak potatoes, steak fries. Anyway.
But hey, so we are delighted to have you with us, Asif. And before we get into any of the serious stuff, Erica has been preparing. Now, we've seen on the old Twitter that you have been every few nights practicing with your lovely daughter. But I'm afraid because you've boasted about the practicing,
I have shown you the level of spelling that I've been doing. It's year three, age seven.
Year three, age seven. So I can't promise you that we're not in the realms of PhD level here, but
exactly. So we've been doing homophones the last 2 weeks, or homophones, however you pronounce it. So same sound, different spelling, different meaning.
There.
Male and male.
There are plenty of homophones in the English language. It's very complex.
It's quite weird because the girls come back and they're actually re-educating dad with all these things, and I think my middle daughter, Elena, who's now nine, I said, I can't remember what the word was, it was on Sunday, and she said, oh, that's a subjective noun or something like that. I'm thinking, what?
What?
I don't remember that from school. I don't know if I was taught it and I've forgotten, or I just was never taught it. But yeah, they surprise me every day.
You get things like, what are they, split phonemes or split diaphonemes?
Yes, I did that last year, and I'll be doing that again this year. Split digraphs or something like that.
Digraphs, that's it.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Wow. Anyway, on that note, I'm going to hand over to Erica, who's going to...
Here we go.
He's going to put you through your paces, mate.
Insert evil laughter here for Esther.
Okay. It is Halloween. Do we need some of that?
That's right. Crackling, yes. Okay, Asif, because I know you have been studying up on vocabulary words and spelling, I came up with a little list for us today of four words. Usually we give our individual guests three, but I'm throwing in one just for fun. So based on your recent outstanding comms hero conference and the remarkable swag that you give out following the conference, endearing. Our first two words are inspired by that swag. So your first word, Asif, is paraphernalia.
Oh my God. I haven't got a clue, but I can start as well. P-A-R-A. And that then I'm para. Oh my god. P-H.
Yes.
O-N. That's not A-L-I-A.
Oh, we were very close. P-A-R-A-P-H-E-R-N-A-L-I-A. I'm going to give you half a point for that one.
I feel under pressure after after Chuck and, is it Kristen, their spelling extravaganza. They were just absolutely smashing it.
They did.
If they're not your all-time winners, I'll be shocked. But I certainly won't be. I won't be troubling the leaderboard, I don't think. But let's go.
Well, Jason Anthoyne and Benjamin Ellis have since, I think, reclaimed the.
I haven't listened yet. Yeah.
I think Jason and Benjamin are second place.
Yeah, I think they nailed it. Okay, so paraphernalia, half point for that, Asif. Moving on to the next. Tchotchkes. That's your next
one. Is that a word?
It is. It's like a different word for swag.
Is it? I've no idea. I've never heard of that word.
Oh my goodness. Really?
Honestly.
Okay. So like, you know, the little things like pens and Kleenexes and whatevers that you get in swag bags are tchotchkes.
This is a Jewish descent word, isn't it? You are taking this to the next level.
I have not got a clue.
Would you like to just take a quick pass?
I'm going to pass on that. I haven't got a clue, honestly. I could guess, but I genuinely haven't got a clue.
Go ahead and guess.
Is it tchotchkes, you said, yeah? That's the word.
Plural. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that makes it easier, plural. Oh, thank you. That's not harder or easier. C-H. O-C-H. Keys is K-E-Y-S. That's all I can say.
You're very close. Okay, so I've actually found two different spellings. One. Hold on. Keith.
That doesn't make it any easier.
As long as one of them matches mine, that's great.
You are very close. So if it starts with a C-H, it's C-H-O-T-C-H-K-I-E-S. Oh. And I think you missed the T. However, yeah. I also found it spelled with a T, a silent T at the beginning, you know, like pterodactyl.
Yeah.
No, wait. No. That... no
I know. Tricostal.
Anyway, there you go. So T-C-H-O-T-C-H-K-I-E-S.
That's a good word. I love that.
Okay. So our third word, acquiesce. Sometimes we acquiesce.
Yes.
In comms and in life.
Yeah. Oh, God, you know. Anyway, let's go on to the other more important questions now. Acquiesce. A-C-Q. Oh, God. U-I-E-S-E. Completely Ooh. Wrong.
A-C-Q-U-I-E-S-C-E. I think you just missed one. Close. I'm going to get half a point for that.
I'm getting the words. I haven't used that one for years. I do know what the word is, but I've not had to use it or write it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being educated.
It's a tricky one. Okay, well, that has been quite the challenge, so we won't go to the fourth one.
I think you should. Let's go to the fourth one. If I can do a week-long event, I can do four spellings and spellings and get them all wrong.
Baloney.
B-A-L-O-N-I or E-Y?
No. That is also incorrect. B-A-L-O-G-N-A. Baloney.
This proves words that I've heard and used but never had to actually write.
Well, and also, yeah, we're kind of spoiled with autocorrect.
That's true. That's a shocking performance. I've let myself down, my family down, community. I'm really sorry on behalf of myself and everyone for that shocking performance on Spelling, but I tried.
You gave it your best go. And you know what? You have so many other gifts that we appreciate. So we're just going to stick with those. You are prolific.
Erica, you're amazing. Thank you.
You're prolific on the Twitter, and I give you all the kudos and credit for that. So bravo. You're a
hero. I spell most of the stuff in my tweets correctly, but autocorrect helps with that. It does help. It's made us lazy spellers. Sure.
Hi, everyone. Keith here. I just wanted to remind you that you can get in touch with the show on email at internalmiscommunications@gmail.com, or you can find us on social media. Twitter is ICMiscomms and Instagram is @internalmiscommunications. The reason I'm reminding you of that is because we would love to hear from you about your stories of miscommunication, or even if you're facing a project that you might like a bit of help with, we'd love to read those out on the show. We've already had a few. We're saving those up so that we can maybe use them for something special, but not too many details about that just yet. But sure, get in touch. We love hearing from you. We'd also love to hear your feedback, or do you know what? Just tell us what you like. It might be that you don't like Erica's English accent, and it might be that you think that my American accent is absolutely brilliant. Either way, get in touch. We'd love to hear from you.
I admire what you're doing. Try and do one and see what it takes.
Yeah. So we're doing this. We're really selfish when we set this up, because we had a really cracking few conversations together and thought, you know what, the things that annoy us must annoy other comms professionals.
Yeah.
But equally, the things that we are inspired by must inspire other comms professionals. And we know the likes of you, the likes of Jenny, the leaders in our industry haven't got there because they've just woke up one day and said, today I'm going to be perfect. That you've actually grafted, broken a few rules, screwed a few things up, and actually reached this level of excellence through lots and lots of milestones of missteps, you know? So, and that's the thing, I think we're encouraged to look at. My biggest bugbear at the moment is role profiles. When you see role profiles online and they say, must have perfect English, must have this expertise, must be able to do this with stakeholders. Well, no one comms person can do all that stuff. I can't do all that stuff. I can do some things really well, but I'm a team of 10 people. There are going to be, in those other 9 people, those skills. So why don't you hire to replace a skill or to fill a skills gap and train the rest? And that's what we want to try and do, is break down that idea of perfection and crack that, because it is just a veneer, but crack through that and actually allow people to make mistakes, try things that are new, make a few, you know, cock-ups, but eventually be more creative, more exciting, more passionate as a result of not having to reach this unreachable. We're learning from that. Even though we're doing this cheap, we're still, you know, we're not, we haven't got the best equipment, we haven't got the best sound, we're not paid on paid for apps, we're not using producers and studios, we're doing it in our front rooms, but we're doing it because we care. And anyway, so there you go, I've ranted. I've got that out of my system.
Good.
Yeah, so Asif, obviously we are stoked to have you on the podcast. I'm sorry for Erica's incredibly hard questions, words. We won't let her do it again, let's be honest. She's going to throw in things like antithesis and things like that. So Erica's going to have her hard words vetted next time. But listen, we know you as the original comms hero, the cape-wearing superhero from the north of England. But we'd love to hear a little bit more about you, a little bit about what you guys get up to at Resource. Let's find out a little bit more about Asif.
Yeah, so my job here at Resource, I've been at Resource for 18 and a half years now. And when I joined, I said, this is my next job, that's the career move. And I've heard it many times from many people, but I did genuinely mean it. So I thought, I need to do something with a company that I can but still be in sales, because that's what I do for a living, sales, but helping people communicate and use print and print and media really to help communicate. And it's a fantastic job because you still, even with COVID, still get to meet lots of people and networking, building relationships. That's what I do for a living. And it just so happens throughout my whole career of 25 years in marketing, and it's always been with companies who produce final output. And that includes, so there's something just really nice about working in an environment where there's print going on. The smells are amazing. People love the smell of a printed book. Well, I get to experience that every weekday. And if I'm suffering withdrawal symptoms, I've got the key so I can come in on the weekend and sniff away. So it's amazing. But my job, my reason for being is to just, to generate sales and build relationships. And ultimately, I'm responsible for what our business looks like in the external world. That's what I'm here to do. And since the advent of social media, that's impacted on what our business looks like internally as well, because people who see our social media feeds get to see some of the work that they've produced and how amazingly how customers and people who aren't doing business with us engage with it. So it's a brilliant job to do. Lots of people talk about and tweet and hashtag, you know, love my job. But after being here for 18 and a half years, you've got to love somewhere and the thing that you do to be there for that long, because, you know, 7 year itch and all the rest of it, you can't stay somewhere that long. So, and the last 5 years, 10 years, probably 5 years, I'd say, have been the best years, because we've done so much and grown massively as a business. We've diversified to a massive extent, and you get to do stuff like, you know, Comms Hero without having the opportunity of working in a company that I have and the culture that we have and the people around me. You don't get to do stuff like that. So it's a company that encourages people to try new stuff, to JFDI. And you can Google that, or for those who don't know, but I'm sure many know what that expression is, but just to go on and try stuff, to be honest with you. So that's why I exist. You know, I'm a relationship builder, networker. I understand marketing. I love print and understand print as well. But the thing that excites me the most is when you get a client who's come to you and they don't have a specific idea of what they want, and then we turn it into something. And if it's into something in a digital space, then great. But when it turns into something print, there's just something magical about that, because it's tangible. And we've seen during COVID, especially this year, so many people have re-engaged with print. It's brilliant to see the world that I've lived in and people re-engaging with it. And let's face it, when was the last time anyone took a picture of an email they received and put it on Twitter? They don't
right.
do
that. I'm with you. I don't receive anything that doesn't come either cling wrapped or in a packet and not get straight to the centerfold and sniff it. I think there is something so delightful about a brand new book and the smell of it. So, and I think that is an emotion that's restricted to three professions. So one, you either work in the print trade.
Yeah.
Or within that marketing world, so Marcoms is that brand, or communications. And I think even the smell you get from a pull-up banner when you take it out for the first time, it's a delight. And I know I've joked about it before, but I would be the tea boy at Resort to be a part of that smell every day. I'm not gonna lie, obviously you have a varied role, obviously. As a director, you'll have seen some things and done some things in your time, Asif. And what we're all here to know is whether you yourself have at any point miscommunicated to a broad audience. And as it's Halloween, we want all the gory details, my friend.
Absolutely. It happens. Proofreader's nightmare. And we had, 2 years ago, it was 3 years ago. We have every year Resource sends a calendar, which is highly coveted to all our clients and contacts. And it's an amazing thing because it's a piece of marketing that we get to have lots of fun with each year, and we have to keep pushing the boundaries. And this was the second year of our Desk Buddy calendar. And I know, Keith, you're after a Desk Buddy.
I mean, I'm not, but I really do. <love that. laughs>
But we put the calendar out, and I think it was February that somebody had tweeted. So they tweeted it publicly. And there's a picture of the February month, and we put Pancake Day, and we got the date wrong. And it's in print. And it had gone through different proofreaders and all the rest of it. And we just missed it. But it happened, and you couldn't, you know, it's not somebody internally who found it. Somebody externally found it, a customer, and had tweeted it. And I run in the main our social accounts along with the support of some of the sales team. And I'd seen that, and you just think, heart just sank. And because I'm a Virgo, I'm a perfectionist, dotting I's and crossing T's. And to have missed that was a real, just a dagger to the heart, basically. But it's how you respond to those things that really are the measure of what you are as a business or an organization and an individual as well. And the creative team worked absolute wonders with that. So we basically owned that mistake, and that's the best thing to do, to be honest with you. You've got to own it. And I've heard that many times on your podcast with other guests. I think there's no point hiding it, especially when you've been called out on Twitter. You can't hide it. And there's no point trying to hide it either. So we did a little mini campaign because we had to go through, it was either do something proactive about it or go through the rest of February, 26 days, I think, on the run-up to Pancake Tuesday, which I'd always look forward to normally. But this year it was a little bit different. And I thought, can I go through this for the next 20-odd days? And so the creative guys, we put a campaign out. We owned that mistake. And in Desk Buddy-esque style, just had a bit of fun with it, really. So it was a horror moment from that perfectionist point of view, because our job is to create, you know, great design and physical production of products and what have you for our customers. And then when you do it for yourself, and the campaign itself was fantastic, Desk Buddy's been a revelation from a marketing point of view. But that was a tough one to take. And we are very meticulous with dates, and we've just become even more meticulous. But you have to go through those things, don't you, before in order to find the next level towards perfection, which you never actually attain, but it's a nice journey to keep striving for and go on, definitely. But yeah, that was to have it called out on social media, that's a tough one.
That is tough. And you know, SF, you just said something that spurred this thought I'd not considered before, is miscommunication and making that kind of mistake really challenges us to step up our game. So you've stepped up you and your team stepped up your game. Yeah. I mean, step up your game in a very creative sense. Like I have always felt like failure, you know, challenges you in many ways, emotionally, mentally, but that is kind of a next level of, you know, adding on that creative element, not just learning the lesson and moving on, but really learning and growing from it exponentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had to tackle it head on, because this is what we do for a living. This is what people pay us for, that service. So I've just removed myself completely from the proofreading loop now, because I'm not the best proofreader. I prefer to be at the front end creative bit. And then we've got, and that's the thing, you've got to have people, Keith mentioned before about that, you know, people with different roles. Mm-hmm. And we've got two or three people who we can now call on that have that level of attention to detail. I'm definitely all about the detail, but not when it comes to spotting typos and things like that. And, you know, I'll never be joining the grammar police. It's not my thing. But we do have people, and they're an important resource to have, because somebody's got to proofread and make sure stuff is right, because we do become very complacent and reliant on spell checkers, but spell checkers aren't going to tell you you've put the date in the wrong place, you know. So it definitely spurs you on and makes you better, and you've got to take that out of it, definitely.
Yeah, that's great.
I think one of the things that stands out to me as well, and a few more questions that we'll get to, but and it's just occurred to me while you were talking that passion that you have, or that you've grown over the last 18 years, is definitely evident in your colleagues. You know, we see in everybody's Twitter handles that it's Elliot Resource, it's Lee Resource. You know, everybody is very proud to be a part of the Resource team, and that shows. But what is it about Resource? What's the You're definitely fostering a different kind of culture there. What? Tell us a little bit about that.
I'd say the from a culture perspective, it is a fun place to work, because we've got so many different types of people that work here. So you've got, you know, at the front end, client facing, creative designers. You've got data geeks here, and you've got people on the factory floor who print stuff and produce physical things. Through to the dispatch team, who make sure that the stuff gets out in the post or gets delivered correctly. So you've got so many different types of discipline, and you know, white collar, blue collar, if those terms still exist. And you've got to make all those different types of job roles and people's different aspects of communication and culture fit into what we're trying to do here as a business. But we do generate that really good culture within the business from the directors, really, and the leadership. That's a massive part of it. It's a very open culture, and from that open culture, we've got the open door policy. Everybody knows everyone's name. And that makes a massive difference. So we're not a huge blue chip organization. You know, we're 40 plus people, but everyone does genuinely know each other. And that part of it does make a massive difference for us.
I think that overflows. You know, you can tell that I call out Elliot and Lee. Obviously, there's a bunch of you guys, and we got to meet loads of them through Comms Hero. But just that passion and enthusiasm overflows. And I think when you are in a sales environment, because you're a team of 40 people, everybody's a sales person, aren't they? Everybody's an advocate for the business. Everybody's, so you've got to be passionate. But as a consumer, as the other side of the B2B, that's what you want in a supplier or a client. You want that enthusiasm to come back at you, because you know your product's going to be good. You know that the service is going to be great. And you know, actually, if there is a miscommunication, it's going to get sorted really quickly.
We've seen some of the miscommunications that we've spotted. Not through when we've had stuff that we haven't designed. So it could be internal staff magazines that we've printed, or external comms as well. We do both. And sometimes it could be a printer or somebody who's making the printed sheets into a, as we call it, a saddle stitched or a staple booklet, come to us and say, look, I've spotted this error on, and that's people in the production who don't, they're not responsible for any of that. Yeah. The client's responsible for proofreading the content they supply, but also if it's supplied artwork, there's very little we can do to intervene with that or interfere with it. And that kind of stuff, when that happens, we've saved a lot of embarrassment for some of our clients and their miscommunications, where they've done exactly what we did ourselves with the calendar, but they've not spotted it. And when you've got people like that working for you, it is a nice feeling, because you think, wow, then that's next level. And and genuinely, that is, everybody sees that externally only from a few client facing contacts we've got. So we've got the account management team and the sales team and the creative team who would ordinarily speak to clients. So we actively encourage our clients to talk directly with a designer, because sometimes when you're doing a design piece, it's just nice to have your designer sat next to you just for half an hour, and you say, look, can you just move this, or even the designer to virtually sit next to the client and say, look, this is what I want to show you what I'm thinking. And you can save yourself hours and days and weeks in terms of proofing lead times, but more importantly, you're saving the customer a lot of money because they're paying an hourly rate for a designer, and ordinarily they would just design stuff and then send it to the client via PDF. The client will say, oh, I don't really like that, and then send it back, and then you go back and forth. So when you've got that through the entire business, it's a fantastic, genuinely, it's a fantastic place to be. Because when you're out in a client-facing role, as I am and my team are, you kind of have that reassurance that you've got, when you bring work in for your clients, you know that you've got a team of people who are going to do a fantastic job for them. And that's not that's not just cliche sales stuff. That's genuinely, if people come, you know, get COVID out of the way and come back and visit, you'll feel that. You feel it now, as you mentioned, on social. It's real, because when we turn up, whether that's us as individuals or the physical products that we produce or the campaigns that we help people deliver, you can genuinely feel that. And we'll talk about a little bit more about that as we go through the interview anyway.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I think, I don't know whether I do speak on behalf of all communicators everywhere, but there is nothing worse than dealing with I say a supplier, I hate that, a partner who's helping you outsource some work and hearing things like, oh, well, thanks for your call. I'll brief that into the designer and I'll let you know that there is nothing that makes my spine itch more than hearing that what I've just told you about my critical campaign. Whew. So that is worlds apart. You talk about stepping up and next level. And I do think truly is, and in a situation where everything's digital, everything's over a video screen, having the ability to sync with those people directly is
absolutely next level.
So, awesome. And kudos to you guys. But we are talking about next level and stepping things up. And I think that absolutely segues perfectly into Comms Hero. You know, it's a conference that I think it's touched, in some way has touched everybody in the communications industry, whether that's directly through attending. And it was my honor to attend this one for the first time. But I think it's far reaching, and I don't know whether you guys realize how far reaching it is, but it is. And having a hashtag comms hero in your Twitter profile, I assure you, people are desperate for that kind of little badge of honor. So on behalf of everybody, because I don't know whether you get to tell this story that often, tell us how it came about. Tell us how you built this community.
It is a fascinating story to be at the part of it. And it was only last year we celebrated the 5th anniversary, and part of that was we kind of telling the Comms Hero story, because there's lots of comms lessons in that. And this year I had the opportunity to and the honor as well to write a chapter for Sarah Waddington's 4th edition of Future Proof, which was a fantastic initiative, and talking about community building, and I've never done anything like that before, because for me it's what I do for a living. I network, having networked, I joined Twitter. I've been on LinkedIn for years, but I joined Twitter 10 years ago. It'll be 11 now in December, but that's when it all changed. Now, I've always worked with marketing and comms people. That's who my customer base has been forever. And having worked with comms people in the main, it started off with housing comms, so public sector, reducing budgets, very different environment to the private sector clients that I work with, where they don't have internal comms, for example, as a department, doesn't necessarily exist. And so I thought, and I'd attended lots of events that were for comms people, but if you were CIPR, you went to CIPR events. If you were CIM, you went to CIM, and if you were PRCA and all the rest of it. And before the virtual world that we live in now and enjoy the convenience of not traveling to events and attending them in person, it was very expensive and very time consuming. So you had to be careful about what events you could attend because you had a limited budget. And also you were potentially thinking, oh, well, I'd love to go to that event, but I'm not a member of that organization. So I either have to pay a higher premium or I'm just not allowed to attend it. So, and some of the events I went to were, you had some fantastic speakers, but after listening to them, I just thought, what could anyone in the audience here do tomorrow with what they've just said? Because it was such high level and it was multi-million pound budgets. And I'm thinking, nobody in this room has got a multi-million pound budget. So why on earth are we sat here listening to them? And comms people, as by nature, I know there's a comms hero in all of us, and especially in comms and marketing. We're creative by nature, but we tend to be creative, or the comms people I work with are creative on specific campaigns, and they can get creative when they're working with their own in-house design or with their agencies. But all the events that are catering for these creative people, in my honest opinion, were a bit stuffy. And some of the content was just not pitched right for me, and they were so expensive, and everything was London-centric. And that was quite, you know, you had the choice of either getting up at stupid o'clock and then going down to London and coming back at stupid o'clock, or going down the night before and having an extra expense. So there was a lot of things there in it for me that I thought, and I remember it was, I was at a particular event and I was there with a network of people. There were 300 people at the event. And it just kind of dawned on me. I'd been at this event for a few years running, and all the speakers, so you had main keynote speakers who were literally kind of on the schedule, butted up to each other. So first speaker, 9 till 10, they overran. So then the next speakers kind of sat waiting to go on, and are they going to be short or are they going to run the program late? And then you... then at lunchtime, you've paid £500 to attend an event, and just simple things like you're given hot food, but then there's nowhere to sit. So you've got 300 people stood up, or some people just sat on the floor. And then you had, or if you watched it as an observer, you'd see people finishing the keynote and then running off to try and get a breakout session because the keynote they've just been to is late. And for 300 people who've all paid £500 each, they didn't really get to speak to each other. And I thought, well, part of the event value is the relationships that you've got an opportunity to develop, but you don't have the time to develop. And I asked myself, does it have to be this way? Does the conferences have to be like this for comms people? And I literally asked a few close clients and contacts. I said, look, if I could do something different, and this is what I'm thinking, and it was £150 plus VAT, would you come along? And they said, yeah. So I asked about 20 people, and that was enough for me. And I just thought, well, somebody's got to do something to shake this up. And it genuinely started as a one-off experiment in March 2014. And at that event, when I'd asked a few people, and they said, look, they gave me the confidence to go for it. So I did some element of customer research, face-to-face customer research, and I thought there's enough there, I think, to go for it. And then I had the backing and support of the directors here at Resource, which was really important, because worst case scenario, if we couldn't break even on the event, it would be my marketing budget that I'd use up to do it. But I said, look, you know, we need to do this, we need to try something. And our role as a business is to create brands for people, and we've done that for years and years, but now it's time to do one for ourselves. So we put out the, we came up with the name, and it was genuinely based on to celebrate the heroics that comms people perform every day. Because I genuinely believe that the stuff that our clients have to do, jump through some amazing hoops, but they are comms by nature, for themselves, are a modest group of people. But when it comes to shouting about other people's successes, that's what we're trained to do. We do that really well. And I said, look, now's the time for comms people to actually give themselves the recognition they deserve and the value of their role within an organization. They need to actually appreciate and understand how important they are and not be played down by the fact it's a non-value-added service in some people's perspectives, but you only find out how valuable it is in a crisis. And I remember in the 2008 recession that the first departments to go within a lot of our clients were, or headcount in those departments, were training and comms. And I've seen comms teams decimated. Even the head of comms would go, and I'm thinking, well, who's going to do the strategic stuff for you now? So we just thought, let's do a conference that is for comms people. It doesn't matter if you're affiliated to whichever organization, you're going to be allowed to turn up. You're not going to be charged a different fee because you're not a member of this or you're not a member of that. And we can control that ourselves. So we did exactly that, and we set about that. And I think at some point in March, we set about, I booked the venue, and then we sent a save the date out for the 13th of May, 2014. And it was 8 weeks we had to actually put bums on seats, get speakers, decide what the brand was going to be like. And we did it, you know, we did it in 8 weeks. We had 85 people turn up to the first event, and we had our main keynote speaker was Grant Leboff, which, having read some of his books, was, you know, he's a marketing legend. And he believed in what we were doing. And came on as keynote, and we had some amazing speakers like Helen Reynolds, and the late John Popham was a massive supporter of Comms Hero, and he was there from the beginning. So that's where it came from, just out of a genuine desire to do something for the people that I work with. And it wasn't meant to be extended to a wider network. It was meant to be a one-off experiment. Let's do an event. Can we do it in 8 weeks? Because it's a brilliant case study for us as well. This is what we do for a living. But it's much easier to do it when you're doing it for clients. And we had so much fun, even down to, you know, it had a very Marvel pop art kind of style at the beginning. That was our first kind of creative direction. So we thought, can we put the fun element into training? Because there were some serious subject matters that we were dealing with. But does it have to be boring and dull? And how can we build networking in? So we were really meticulous about the program, building in 15-minute breaks after each speaker. So you can either just not feel totally frazzled at the end of the day, but also you might want to talk to the people on the table about what you've just heard. And just make sure you've had a full day of taking in content, but not feel like you've been absolutely battered, as tends to happen with lots of events. So it was sacrificing an hour of time in the day, throughout the day, through these 15-minute breaks, to just make people feel like, wow, I didn't, you know, I don't feel like I've been talked at all day, and I don't feel like I've not had an opportunity to network and talk to the people on my table, and things like that. So it was a brilliant start, and genuinely, did we think it was still going to be going 6.5 years later? Absolutely not. And I can tell you that, hand on heart, that, you know, it was a one-off experiment. But during the first development of the first event, one of my contacts heard about what we were doing. And she said, oh, look, we've got a meeting of comms, our comms community. Would you bring Comms Hero and do it for us at our event? And I genuinely said, look, I don't actually know what it is yet, but I'm up for it. And in the first year, we ended up doing our first event in May in Manchester. We did the second one in June in Wrexham in North Wales, and then we did one in London, and in Bristol and London we did. So we did four in the first year, and genuinely it was meant to be a one-off. But it was such a buzz. We took all our kit and went on the road and delivered, you know, different speaker sessions throughout the whole event, and just started building it from there. So it's been a fantastic first year. It's there for the people. It's there to encourage people to celebrate the work that they do, and be, everyone's proud of the work that they do, but I don't think comms people celebrate the work that they do enough and publicly.
Yeah, mate, that's brilliant. I'll encourage everybody to skip back a couple of minutes and go back to that question and listen to it again, because not once did you mention that it was a commercial opportunity. Not once did you mention that you will get warm leads into businesses because you've got the work emails. Not once have you mentioned that you'll be able to flog some merch. Like, there's now, while we're talking about merchandise, let me just hold up something right here, which for the viewers at home who can't see anything because it's a podcast, I'm holding a little trophy, a Dunkability trophy, which is very beautiful, and it lives in its box on my desk. So I just thought I'd get Jammy the Dodger in there just a little bit, because y'all should be jealous. But and I'll share a picture of that so you can be properly jealous. But no, there's no obviously resources are business. You need to make money. You've got people that you need to pay a salary to. So obviously, getting a bunch of communicators in a room and showing them what resource can do will pay its dividends.
Yeah,
but that's always been on the periphery of providing a community for people to network and grow and celebrate each other. How the heck do you sell to your business leaders that you're going to stick a conference on, that you're going to shell out a load of cash to do it, you hope that you might sell tickets, and by the way, you're not going to use it as a marketing ploy? How, when we talk about miscommunications and setting things up, how that.
Well, it's a great question, and I think the honest answer to that was that if it panned out the right way and it was done for the right reasons, then what we wanted to do was get a group of people together, customers and people who aren't customers, enjoy the content, and we've never, from a sales point of view, I hate people who are too salesy. And in kind of last 10 years in sales, you don't have to do that now. And you wouldn't know that it was delivered by resource, apart from the logo is Comms Hero by resource. So it's very subtle in terms of that, because the content and the value of the event is far more important. And putting that at the forefront was the real key for us. I didn't expect to build a community out of this. We expected it to be one event. And genuinely, from that perspective, if sales and new clients came as a byproduct, but a natural byproduct of the event, because my team's job is to build relationships. And this was a great way to put us, you know, we're a print company that has design and creative and mailing and all that kind of stuff. But if we can be the reason that people get together, then that's the bit people will remember, who put us together. And that is a huge part of just the basics of networking. Who put me together with this contact I now get lots of value from? And that was a real important plus for us. We got to have fun creating swag. That's what we do for a living, creating stuff and showing people that, you know, that just the joy of seeing people with their very own Comms Hero personalized notebook, which is a one of a kind. It's printed for you and nobody else, because it has literally got your name on it. And it's stuff like that. We could put that in front of people without saying, look at our fantastic printing services. And we know how to put events on. And we know how to make people feel engaged and feel great about what they're doing in terms of that particular event, for example. And I think that has carried all the way through, even to the when Jenny Field was chairing Comms Hero Week, and when Jenny and I were going through what the kind of remit was for that, and she said, "Oh, do you want to come and join me and say something?" And I said, "No, because you're the chair. On the Friday afternoon, when we're closing, I'll join you on Friday afternoon." And there's only Jenny and I that know about this conversation apart from now. And, but it just, that's the genuine truth. And because our philosophy all the way through 13 events now has never been to somebody from resource is going to chair the event, or it was only last year at our 12th event, which was the 5th anniversary, that I actually did a presentation, but it was to tell the Comms Hero story and the lessons learned from it and the lessons people can take from it in terms of community building and networking, and this is why your 100 people were sat in a room in Manchester in May last year. And And I think it has worked because we have genuinely generated new clients from it, but we've increased our exposure to a target market for us, which is the comms community. But that's not a guarantee. We've still got to turn up and we've still got to deliver, but that bit was never in question. So it is a marketing campaign in one sense, but it's a marketing campaign with a massive amount of reward from a personal point of view and a feel-good point of view as well at the same time. And there aren't many things that we do for a living that can give you that. That's just become part of the day job. And it's just turned into a Twitter community of over 11,000 followers. We reached that milestone a couple of weeks ago. And it's a side project. It's not what we do for a living. It's not my day job. But that commitment to that side project, it's just part of who we are as a business and who I am now as well. And it's a nice thing to do. It's a very rewarding thing to do.
Listen, mate, I think it shows you that there's still a place, even in 2020, there's still a place for integrity in business. Doing the right thing for people and having a laugh with people and building a relationship before you try and empty their pockets. Not that that's what you're trying to do ultimately, but there's too much out there, I think. And even in our world, there's too much out there of we just want access to your budget this year, you know, to be supported as comms people by an organization that just wants to support us, then yeah, mate. Listen, it's been a great chat. It's been fantastic. And I don't want to keep you any longer because I want you to go home and do some more spellings with your beautiful daughter and your incredible family. So thanks so much for coming in. We're going to take a quick break. Erica is going to pick back up with us in a second. But Asif, that's been incredible, mate. Thanks so much for
you. Thank you.
Yeah, Asif, thank you so much for joining us today. You know, eliciting those feelings, doing things to, you know, provoke a feeling, not provoke in a bad way, of course, but, you know, bring those feelings to the surface is a beautiful thing. And I certainly had feelings during the Comms Hero Conference and seeing all the wonderful swag, the personalized notebooks, that triggers like something deep in my soul, loves. Stuff like that. All right. So we know that you're on Twitter, prolific there. Tell us your handles, where we can reach you, and how to get in touch with more questions.
Nice and simple. Just Twitter and LinkedIn. So at Asif Choudhury, AsifChoudry. And that is the pronunciation of my name. So you can click the little speaker icon on LinkedIn now, and I've put a recording on there as well. So
have you done that?
Yes, I did just because you can. And lots of nice features and stuff on LinkedIn. And but no, so, you know, follow me on Twitter and connect with me on LinkedIn. And, you know, I'm always happy to connect with people. And if you don't have to work in comms to be a comms hero, which is one of our comms hero sayings. So don't feel that, you know, you're not going to get a direct sales approach or anything like that back. Sometimes I might be able to connect you with somebody, and that might be somebody who works in comms and has a love of horses, or they've got cats or dogs or whatever it might be. So or they like running or whatever it might be. So there's lots of those things. You'll get some hopefully personal value out of the connection, and also some professional value out of it as well.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Asif. And thank you again. Just rounds of applause that we hope to include that audio. And for our listeners, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Internal Miscommunications. Funny, very on brand. So you can connect with us on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and via email, internalmiscommunications@gmail.com. And until then, okay, Asif and Keith, I'm going to ask you to do your best Southern impression. Southern U.S., that is. So
I'm stretching. I'm getting ready.
Southern U.S. This is not my forte. You're pushing me well out of my comfort zone here.
Okay.
I can't do it. I'm going to listen to Keith, though.
As I say, you move your lips and I'll do the accent and no one at home will know. So, you ready? 1, 2, 3. Bye, folks. How was that? Mate, that was brilliant.
Well, I don't want to insult anyone.
I do. See y'all.
I've insulted plenty of my British friends with my horrendous British accent. So for now, I'm just going to say cheers, mate.
Cheers,
mate. Cheers. 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 Cheers.
Stay,
everybody. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Erica, the one question I've got to ask actually is, how come you're not in your car?
That's a great question. Guess what? They are finished with construction. So now
great.
Some of the best stuff I've heard ever. It's been brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Oh my goodness. Well, Keith, thanks to Keith for leading that in.
I think it's good.
Genuinely shocked when they showed up. We were on the phone with Kristen and Chuck, and I was so furious.
I heard it was brilliant, but that's the authenticity of it all. But it's amazing on some podcasts or when I've done some live discussions. I've had one person where they went in the car and they their Wi-Fi or their 4G signal cut out completely, so they left the broadcast. And another person, what did they do? Their battery died halfway through. So it was just me.
And you carried it through because you're the comms hero.
Well,
you
are. No, we edited it out anyway. So that happened on the same podcast.